Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 says this, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." It is not God's intention that any of us do anything alone. Psalm 28, a song of David, verses 1 and 2 and 7 say this. Psalm 28, 1, "To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, do not be deaf to me. For if you are silent to me, I will become like those who go down to the pit." Psalm 28, 2, "Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you for help." A supplication is an emergency prayer. "And when I lift up my hands towards your holy sanctuary." Psalm 28:7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield, and my heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart exults, and with my song I shall thank him." Psalm 30, another song of David, verses 2 and 10. "O Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you healed me." Psalm 30:10, "Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper." Psalm 33, verse 20, "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." Psalm 37, verses 39 and 40, "But the salvation of the righteous," that's believers in Christ, "is from the Lord. He is their strength in times of trouble." Psalm 37, 40, "The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him." As we continue to study Paul's letter to the Romans, we will soon be transitioning to chapter 8. When we do, God the Holy Spirit, our helper, will be taking center stage. It is not God's intention that we would do anything alone. Rather, it was his intention that in every matter, he would be our helper suitable. And he is more than suitable for any task, because when God helps, it is much more than help. It is divine. So welcome to our celebration of the Lord's Supper. The opening song, "The Lion and the Lamb," by Crystal Lewis.
The mightiest of all. Who is he? Creation trembles at his call. Who is he? The lowly sacrifice, paid a victim's price. His name is Jesus. From the Father's own right hand, Jesus, Son of God and Son of Man, Jesus, who died and rose again, Jesus, he's the Lion and the Lamb. The power none can tame. Who is he that every foe would fear his name? Who is he who was humbly led away to suffer that dark day? His name is Jesus. Jesus. The Father's own right hand, Jesus, Son of God and Son of Man, Jesus, who died and rose again, Jesus, he's the Lion and the Lamb. the eyes that burn like fire. Who is he? Oh, the wonder he inspires. Who is he? Who bore the guilt and shame for those who'd gone astray? His name is Jesus. Jesus, from the Father's own right hand. Jesus, Son of God and Son of Man. Jesus, who died and rose again. Jesus, he's the Lion and he is Jesus. From the Father's own right hand. Jesus, Son of God and Son of Man. Jesus, who died and rose again. Jesus, he's the Lion and the Lamb. He's the Lion and the Lamb. He's the Lion and the Lamb.
With the song selections these days. Thank you, June. Opening prayer, let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for teaching us through your Word just how powerless we are, a powerlessness that reaches a depth that we can't even comprehend. And thank you for providing the enabling power of God the Holy Spirit to fill up our deficiency. And thank you for being our strength. Thank you for providing us with a so great salvation by sending your Son to be a substitute for us. And thank you for providing a resurrection life which allows us to live in the comfort, the security, and the stability that we are yours forever. Thank you for your unconditional love. Help us in our time of need, Almighty Father. And our time of need is always, especially right now. Heal our hurts, cure our ills, restore our health. Provide for the persecuted church around the world. Protect their lives. Help us to think of others before we think of ourselves. Help us to be generous. Help us to enjoy living in the sphere of your grace. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. The Lord's Supper celebration is this lesson. And God the Holy Spirit is our helper suitable. That is the title of it. God the Holy Spirit is our helper suitable. So during the Lord's Supper, we look back to the cross for a brief period of time. And we rejoice when we look back because the Lord is risen. He is resurrected from the dead. And when we think of our lives as a result of his sacrifice, we can only smile with an absolute joy. The Apostle Paul reflects on his life, and we are to reflect in a similar way. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 9 to 16, here's what it says. He says, "It is my hope that I, Paul, may be found in union with Christ Jesus the Lord, not having a self-righteousness of my own derived from following the Mosaic law, but having that righteousness which comes from God the Father through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God the Father on the basis of faith." Philippians 3:10, "that I may know Christ, and that I may know the power of his resurrection, and that I may know the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." Paul wasn't interested in the filthy rags lifestyle of Isaiah 64:6. He was interested in "that I may know, that I may know, that I may know," because there's nothing worse than being ignorant. Philippians 3:11, "in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." The believer in Christ is in union with Christ and is absolutely complete in position. But Paul is talking about his Christian lifestyle here, his sanctification. And he wants to grow the way God wants him to grow. Philippians 3:12. Not that I have already obtained it yet, it being my desires in verse 10. Or not that I have already become perfect, because God the Father is the one who keeps on perfecting me. I press on so that I can lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ has something for us to lay hold of, and he wants us to have it, and he laid hold of us for that thing. So Paul wants to take what the Lord has to give. And if Paul is to grow, one thing is mandatory in his life and in ours, Philippians 3:13. It is, brethren, I did not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, my desires in verse 10, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on for the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God in union with Christ Jesus, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul refused to be saddled with the baggage of his very grim past, the past of a persecutor of the church, the past of a murderer. And instead, he decided to keep his eye on the prize for which God the Father set him apart in eternity past. He kept his eye on the prize for that which Christ died for him on the cross. He kept his eyes on the prize to which God the Holy Spirit was leading him. And how often is it that we, as believers in Christ, have people in our periphery who are always bringing up our errors, who are always bringing up our sins, when our God doesn't even do that? Our God says, as far as the east is from the west, I will remember your transgressions no more. But the people in our lives find it just perfectly satisfactory to keep bringing up our errors as if they haven't figured out that we're human beings yet. And, of course, conveniently, not looking in the mirror to see their own maladies, which if they were trying to solve those, they would be so busy that they wouldn't have time to see anybody else's maladies. But Paul refused to be saddled with the baggage of the past. Paul could have looked at himself in the mirror and talked about the fact that he was a murderer and a persecutor of the church and the least of all the saints and a horrible guy, blah, 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 blah. But he chose not to do that. He chose to press on. He chose to keep his eye on the prize to which God the Holy Spirit was leading him. Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. So let us, believers in Christ, therefore, as many as are perfect, have this same attitude. He's exhorting us now. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that to you also. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. Let us keep living worthy of the manner to the calling with which we have been called. Ephesians 4:1 is what I'm trying to say. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. So when we look back in our Christian lives, we see the cross. All else is to be forgotten. We press on. Well, now let's take the offering. We appreciate your gifts. And because the Lord provides you with a way to be generous, you get a chance to give of your treasure so that others can benefit. There's no greater expression of unconditional love for God than giving. And here's what Paul has to say to the believers in Christ at Corinth concerning giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 8. He says, now this I, Paul, say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. In other words, be generous. The more seeds that are sown, the bigger the harvest. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, each one of us must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a joyfully willing giver. God loves an attitude in you that wants to give, not an attitude in you that thinks you have to give. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. If you are benefiting from this teaching, show your appreciation through your gift. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall. to take the offering.
Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. We are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide so you can worship God, but we choose not to exercise our right. No price appears on any materials from Barah Ministries so that anyone who wants to learn about God can do so free of charge. Even though the materials we are free of charge, they're not free of cost. We appreciate it when much-needed financial support. We appreciate it, your much-needed financial support so we can continue to share the Word of God with the hearers of God provides. So please be generous in your support of God's work through this ministry. I just slayed that one, huh? That was jacked up. But I got through it. Anyway, Pastor last week mentioned something about us being powerless. And I think we often forget that. And when I first heard it, I immediately thought of my son, William. Powerless, always needs our help. And then, you know, segue to him starting his infant survival school where we basically put him in the water and we hand him off to somebody else. And in that moment, I felt powerless. I realized that message wasn't for him, it was for me. And as a parent, you really feel that. You know, you'll never know as a kid until you have kids how it is, how powerless you feel. We hand him off to this lady who dunks him and flips him underwater, and, you know, he's crying and you're kind of worried and you're scared. You just want to jump in and save him. But you can't do that. He's not going to get anything out of the lesson if mom and dad always jump in and bail him out. You know, and that's why we come here, because, you know, I hope when I give him or I hand him away to, whether it's an instructor or a teacher or a friend or pastor at points, you know, he's in good hands, hands that care. Hands like God, because God cares for us. That's why he had his son die on the cross, so that anybody could have a relationship with him. You know, and that's why you all come here, because you know this is a place where Pastor cares about you. The Lord Jesus Christ cares about you. And when you realize that care is based in love, you see that God loves this church and he loves everybody. And you can't just love alone. Love has to be shared. Love has to have more than one person. And when you come here and you support this church, you're sharing that church. You're sharing the care and the love of God with the world. And you're able to hand off your friends and family to this church. You know, and I see that when you guys give each week, it's not just the donuts that you come for. It's the truth. It's the caring of our pastor. And, you know, I don't know how to, I couldn't find really the best verse to kind of coordinate the powerlessness of my son, me realizing as a parent that you're powerless, and then as a congregation, we're kind of powerless. It all depends on God's power. So that's why I chose Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 4. For indeed he, the Lord Jesus Christ, was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God. For we are also weak in him, the way he was weak on the cross, yet we will live with him because of the power of God directed toward you. Each and every one of us has the power of God within us and directed towards us. And we just have to remember that. As parents, when we struggle with somebody, you know, like this lady that's helping us, this instructor, I know that she cares. She's been doing it for 30 years. And in the same way, I know Pastor cares because he's passionate. You know, and a lot of people see passion as maybe anger or maybe overbearing or pushing too hard, but when he exposes our inner games with truth, that's a true friend. If somebody lets you get away with BS in your life, that's not a true friend. Somebody needs to let you know what's going on in your life, let you know about your blind side, and that's what we're getting here. So thank you very much for your constant support of my pastor and this ministry.
Welcome back. That was Flight of the Eagle by Dave McClure. Really nice instrumental. We're celebrating the Lord's Supper today, and the title of this Lord's Supper celebration is God the Holy Spirit is our Helper Suitable. God the Holy Spirit is our Helper Suitable. And we have the Lord's Supper celebration. I hope those of you who are in the non-resident congregation have your Ritz cracker and your bottle of juice with you, even if you're in the car, so that you can celebrate this with us. And I never really mentioned that to you guys, but I hope that you do take the time during this Lord's Supper celebration to just stop and enjoy the bread, enjoy the cup, enjoy the elements as you celebrate the Lord's Supper. So, Lord's Supper celebration, God the Holy Spirit is our helper suitable. The cross is a going away. The cross is a going away. That, at least that's what the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our God, called the event before he went to the cross. He called it a going away. John chapter 16, verses 5 to 15 say this, "But now I am going to him who sent me, and who sent him is God the Father. And none of you asks me, where are you going?" This is an upper room. This is the upper room discourse the night before Jesus was crucified. And he's talking to his apostles. John chapter 16, verse 6, "But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." John 16, 7, "But I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper, God the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, God the Holy Spirit, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." John 16, 9, "Concerning sin, because they don't believe in me." Who is they? Unbelievers. John 16, 10, "Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me." Concerning righteousness, because it is the admission ticket to heaven. And concerning judgment, John 16, 11, "Because the ruler of this world has already been judged. And there will be an evaluation of each of us when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face." John 16, 12, "I have many more things to say to you, but you can't bear them now." John 16, 13, "But when he, God the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever God the Holy Spirit hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. God the Holy Spirit will glorify me," the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, "for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you." John 16, 15, "All things that God the Father has are mine, and therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you." See, at the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished our so great salvation. At the cross, the Lord paved the way for the Spirit of truth to come as the leader of our sanctification, our being set apart for the privileges of the Christian way of living. We become Spirit-filled at the moment of salvation. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "Don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but keep on being filled with the Spirit." God the Holy Spirit is the one who keeps on filling up our deficiency during our life of sanctification. He's the one who keeps on pouring the enabling power into us. We are Spirit-filled at the moment of salvation. And then after salvation, we are to be Spirit-controlled. And to be is not really even the way I should say it. We are Spirit-controlled. Acts chapter 4, verse 31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness." And God the Holy Spirit is what it takes to speak the word of God with boldness. When we are Spirit controlled, we go to God the Holy Spirit for direction through the word of God. When we are Spirit controlled, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is manifested by our earthly tent. Manifested meaning made clearly visible by our earthly tent. People can look at us and tell that we are living the fruit of the Spirit. So let's reflect our desire to be taken to that place by our God as we enjoy the elements. So the Lord's Supper celebration, enjoying the elements, following God's request, we keep on celebrating Christ and his cross on a regular basis. We eat to remember who he is, his person. We drink to remember his work, the voluntary sacrifice he made at the cross on our behalf. He is our substitute. And we are grateful for what God has done for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 say this, I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread and broke it. And when he had given thanks, he said, this is and keeps on being my body, which is being broken for you. Keep on doing this celebration for the purpose of remembering me. When we eat the bread during the Lord's Supper celebration, we remember the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we drink the cup, we remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. In the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup after supper, representing his death on the cross, saying, this cup is a new testament forged with my blood. Keep on doing this celebration. And as often you do it for the purpose of remembering me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So as you enjoy the bread and the cup, enjoy the memory of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as well. And now and always, as the Lord's Supper reminds us, we keep on giving thanks. Song for our music break is He is Exalted by Twyla Paris. supposed to clap coming out of the songs. Amen. 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 I love that song, that version of it especially. The Lord's Supper celebration, God the Holy Spirit is our helper suitable. God the Holy Spirit is our helper suitable. Like Paul, you, believers in Christ, are a chosen vessel of the Lord's. Remember what the Lord said to Ananias about Paul after Paul was knocked from his high horse on the Damascus Road? That's early on in Acts chapter 9. And before we get to verses 13 to 16, he said to Ananias, I need you to go to Straight Street, and I need you to go to a specific house. And there you'll find a man, Paul, and I want you to tell him something. And Ananias was in shock. And Ananias said, dog, is you crazy? He said in Acts 9:13, Ananias answered the Lord, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, Paul, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from chief priests to bind all who call your name. That's Acts chapter 9, verses 13 and 14, verse 15. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine, just like you are, believers in Christ, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and to bear my name before kings, and to bear my name before the sons of Israel. And so, verse 16, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. As God's chosen instrument, you too will suffer in the name of the Lord. But as you look back to the cross and you see the risen Savior not there, hanging from the cross, you will have absolute confidence that after you have suffered for a while, the God of all peace will perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. God the Holy Spirit is the chief executive officer of our being established. And by golly, he doesn't need our help. Does that remind you of home? By golly? Did you hear that a lot back in Kansas? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He did. He's just kidding. He always says no. Whenever I say something, he always has to go the other way, and I understand that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10, say this. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, and that's Paul talking about him seeing things in the third heaven when he made a trip there, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. You have that. You have a thorn in the flesh. And every time you think that you're doing something really cool, that thorn in the flesh comes along and lets you know you're not all that. 2 Corinthians 12:8, concerning this thorn in the flesh, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for divine power is perfected in human weakness. And so Paul says, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. We are powerless, weak, and dependent. Not exactly the words that we would want used to describe us. We have the flesh, and even though it is dead, we still listen to its influence. Yet God the Holy Spirit has a ministry against the flesh for our benefit. Let me repeat that, because I don't believe you heard me. God the Holy Spirit has a ministry against the flesh for our benefit. The flesh is a bully, and God the Holy Spirit stands in and says, come on, bully, bring it. What you got? He is the boss, and he always wins the battle. The flesh does not want to go up against God the Holy Spirit. And so God the Holy Spirit will keep on conforming us to the image of Christ, because that's what he promised to do. His sealing ministry was a signature guarantee that we are saved once and for all time, and that he will conform us to the image of the Son. He will produce in us the fruit of the Spirit. So our jobs as believers in Christ is really simple. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3 says this, therefore, and that therefore in the Bible is always a summary of all the things that have come before that word is mentioned. Therefore, since we, believers in Christ, have so great a cloud of Old Testament witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangled us, buffeting us from all sides, and let us run with endurance the race of our lives that is set before us. Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, the author of faith, the one who knew that by having faith, he could absolutely know that what he had faith in, he had full assurance that it would be delivered. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the humiliation, the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God the Father. Hebrews 12:3. For keep on thinking of a person, Jesus Christ, who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary, fainting in your soul. That is one of my favorite verses in the whole world. It's so edifying to remember that when I think that I'm being treated poorly, when I think I am being persecuted, when I think I am being treated unjustly, I just think of a person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man, who endured much more hostility than I will ever endure by sinners, unbelievers, against himself, so that I do not grow weary, fainting in my soul. The flesh has nothing on me. The flesh has nothing on you. The flesh can say anything it wants, do anything it wants. It can tell you how bad you are. It can tell you how worthless you are. It can tell you you're never going to make it. It can say anything it wants, but it's lying. Because it comes from Satan, you know it's lying. And so you will not entertain its lies. You will not believe its lies. You will not listen to its lies. You will separate yourself from its lies. You will know what lies are. You will hear them for what they are, lies. You will not believe it. You will not give any credibility whatsoever, any credence whatsoever to those lies. Keep on fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Keep on remembering the hostility he endured so that you won't grow weary, fainting in your soul. So we enjoy looking back to celebrate the cross today in our Lord's Supper celebration, because the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has gone away. And because he went away, he has not left us on our own. He has sent the Helper, God the Holy Spirit. He has sent the Paraclete. That's what Helper means, somebody who comes powerfully to our assistance, as a lawyer would come to your assistance in a court case. Someone with expertise who can provide everything you need as a helper suitable for anything that you're enduring. And that's God the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God the Father. And thank you, Jesus, for sending us a mentor and a teacher, God the Holy Spirit. We look forward to the time when we can orient completely to him and when we can be completely dependent on him, knowing that he always gets the job done, that he always completes the tasks that he sets out to do, that he is not going to fail with you. You are not going to be the first Christian that he fails with. And so the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ are guarantees, especially in the matter of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household, who also believes. Jesus said to doubting Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has the Zoe life, the resurrection life, eternal life, at that moment. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the Zoe life, will not see the resurrection life, will not see the eternal life. But instead, the wrath of God the Father abides on him. The wrath of God the Father is the lake of fire. Closing song, June Murphy's going to sing, calling y'all to freedom. Will ya come?
No more need to run.
Thank you, June. The more I hear your songs, the more I like them. But as far as calling me to freedom, no, I don't want freedom. I want the law and sin and the flesh. You know, that's what we're saying as believers. That's what we're saying as believers in Christ. We go back and listen to the flesh. Yeah, I don't want that freedom. But it was for freedom that Christ set us free. So let's keep on standing fast in that freedom and never again be entangled in the yoke of slavery. It's kind of funny that in Romans chapter 6, you know, chapter 6 talks about, hey, stay away from sin, right? In Romans chapter 7, it says, don't try to follow the law. And then in Romans chapter 8, it says, follow the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, from section 9, chapter 9 to about chapter 11, Paul answers in Romans, what about the Jews? And then 12 to 16, he talks about the Christian way of life and all the cool things we ought to do. And then what does he do? He goes right into Corinthians and says, okay, back to sin. And then right into Galatians, okay, back to the law. You didn't learn it the first time through. That's what he says. So that's what you have to look forward to as we progress, is that we're getting the foundation now, and we're going to go right back and learn it again because we just don't get it. We just won't let it sink in that it's not about sin, it's not about the law, it's not about the flesh, it's about the freedom. And to the degree that we continue to get a little older in our lives and to the degree that we really want to be free, then life gets really cool. It gets really relaxing. So that's what we're trying to do. Closing prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for the freedom. And thank you for sending your Son and letting us have a moment to reflect on the great things that He did for us at the cross. Thank you for separating Him from everybody else by raising Him from the dead so that we could see beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are special and we worship the only God because none of the other pretender gods have ever been raised from the dead. And we just pray that all the hearers that you bring to this message will come to the freedom and will accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, and will accept the free gift of the resurrection life, eternal life. And we pray this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.